Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, as usual, I put out a post this week on social media with a very striking meme associated with it, and the meme says, "You're not a man of truth if you believe in eternal security, so-called. Once saved, always saved. You're a moral coward who wants an excuse to sin." And then I posted some scripture references, and then it says, "Repent now, sinner." First of all, I've been dealing with them nearly on a daily basis for decades now. But why would I call them out as moral cowards? Well, that's perhaps not our main topic today, but we do have a book in the ministry library that is very revealing. It's called The Psychology of Eternal Security. What's behind this doctrine of devils? And I mean that when I say it, the Bible says, "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Well, let me just say this, if there's ever been a doctrine of devils, it is the once saved, always saved heresy. How do we know that? Well, biblically speaking, that's the first lie that Satan ever told. He told the man and the woman that they would not surely die. Now, if you don't get anything else from this message, I want you to go look for yourself. Don't listen to me. I'm just a man who needs Jesus more than anybody listening to this message. There is no good thing that dwells in me, the scripture says in Romans 7:18. Also, we should be reminded daily that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ the Lord, Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. So take a look at Genesis 2:17 and 3:4, and take note to who's talking and what they're saying. God told the man and the woman in Genesis 2:17 that you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but remember, this is the pristine, sinless Garden of Eden. It was unmolested with any sin. This is before man sinned, context. And so God created man and the woman, and he said it was very good. There was no sin. And they walked with him in the cool of the day. It was an unbroken, beautiful relationship. Always remember, saints, God is holy, holy, holy. You see, when you got people that ignore that, it's because their salvation, their worldview, if you will, their body of truth concerning soteriology or salvation, is really based on the glorification of themselves. While they claim the Lord saved them, they could care less to take heed to the facts of Scripture. Why? It's not playing into their little agenda to live their life on their own terms with this somehow security in their mind, this delusionment that they're going to go to heaven when they die. Because after all, they're eternally secure. They're unconditionally secure no matter what, because they had this one moment of actual, literal, born-again faith in Jesus Christ. So now they have a ticket to sin if they want. It doesn't matter. They're still going to heaven. This is delusional, and this is what Satan threw at the man and the woman. When God said that they may eat of every tree of the garden, but in the day that thou eatest thereof, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. Now, God was warning them because he loves them. And by the way, let me remind you, he said, "I am the Lord, I change not." Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, even though you never hear it preached, he's holy, holy, holy. Isaiah 6:3, Revelation 4:8. He doesn't only say that one divine attribute once in triplicate, but twice. That's a statement from heaven, folks. We do well to take heed. And he that is holy, 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 by the way, commanded that you be holy as he is holy. Well, that's work salvation. No, that's obeying out of your love for him, the one who saved you, supposedly, and has stated that if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience to God is our expression of our love for God. John 14:15 and 15:14, His commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5:3. So if you're not obeying God, it's because you simply don't love Him. Now, you're going to do yourself well to get honest. You're going to notice we talk about honest a lot because Jesus used the word honest. He said, only those who out of a good and honest or an honest and good heart bear fruit unto everlasting life. Luke 8:15. And that's the only one of the four soils that's going to be in heaven with Jesus. And may I remind you that He said His flock was a little flock. It's a remnant. Isaiah 37:31. Who's the remnant? Those that are taking root downward and bearing fruit upward. That's the cross. If you're not participating in the cross, the crucified life, it's because you're still serving self. And today is your day to get alone with God and repent, to be honest before God. There's no mystery that we've all sinned and we're going to keep on sinning unless we choose to truly repent, stop our lives and lay them down flat before a holy God. Let me just say that this man to man, brothers, it's better to settle out of court before you appear, and you will, as I will, in the Supreme Court of the universe and hear the horrid words of termination, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, Jesus shedding His blood is one thing. You meeting the God-given, divinely stated conditions is another. We'll talk about that more in a minute, because we've been bashing, and I don't apologize one bit, these eternal security cowards this week, as usual. I tell you what, you could put a post out there cursing the Lord Jesus Christ, God forbid, and these guys wouldn't even care. You'd start playing with their little false security sham they hide behind while they live any way they want, and you're going to see the dogs of hell come out, and you and I are going to crush them with the truth and do it gladly.
Titus 1:13, speaking of false teachers, the Bible says, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith.
We're to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered for the saints. What is He specifically talking about there? Every heresy, everything that's outside of the truth presented in the original gospel. But specifically, did you know that's found right there in Jude verse 3? And what's the next verse? Oh boy, He's talking about in the next verse, which means the context is about turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, a license for sin. And that's what these little grace perverting pansies are all about. They don't want the true grace of God. We'll go into that a little bit in a minute. Notice, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, the salvation common to every believer, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. It's a noble thing to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Are you, my friend, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered to the saints? Or should I say, are you preparing to do such? Because you're going to see heresies pop up, and God wants to use you to get them, to smite them, to expose them, to present the truth of the gospel. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is to study you. Yeah, you. Not your pastor, not me. You. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Then He says this, after mandating that you and I earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. They're going to be condemned to hell. Ungodly men, notice, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness or license for sin and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. See, what these people are perpetrating, these ungodly men, that's what the Bible calls them, is a license for sin. They're not going to come out and say that, and they're going to deny it when they're called out about it. Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Let's see, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, we're dead to sin, not only positionally, but we must be also practically. And that's the thing people don't want. They want to believe that positionally, because of their one-time faith in the past of believing on Jesus Christ and Him saving them, that's it, brother. They're going to tell you, don't you dare devalue. I had somebody tell me that today or yesterday. Don't you dare devalue the payment of Christ on the cross, the perfect sacrifice of Christ, who said, it is finished. Trust me, I'm not devaluating it. You are, because you're telling us that He died on the cross for your sins so that you could continue to live in them after you are saved? You need to get saved, what you need to do. Well, I've already been saved. The Bible says, he that abideth in Him sinneth not. 1 John 3, 5, and 6. So if you're living in sin, and I can tell you these people living in sin, if for nothing else that we know about it, we know that they, out of their own mouths, they reveal themselves as false teachers. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 says what? All false teachers and false prophets will have damnation. In other words, they're going to hell. Damned means hell. You're going to hell. You're going to be separated, vanquished from the presence of a holy God for all eternity, and locked up irrevocably in the bowels of eternal damnation. So how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, what shall we say then? Paul says, he presents a rhetorical question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, if you're continuing in sin, saving grace is not abounding in your life. You're not saved. Well, brother, I got saved. It doesn't matter. If you die in sin, you're going to hell. If you don't want to be a full counsel Bible believer and stay hid behind your little lies, you might as well just turn this message off. You're a counterfeit. You're nothing but a fraud. You're a con man. But if you love the truth and you want to learn it all and consider it all as you walk with the King who gave that truth in His Word from Genesis to Revelation, let's go ahead and continue to talk here. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You're done with God if you're not honest about your sin. You're done. You're not going anywhere further. In fact, if you die like that, you're going to hell. Why? Because you're hiding in your sin. You're trying to hide. You can't hide because He sees it all. But you think you're hiding instead of admitting it and being honest and settling out of court, as the term I use goes. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Only those who confess their sin get honest, right? Jesus said, out of a good and honest heart, only those who out of a good and honest heart, they're going to be the only ones who bear fruit unto everlasting life. Luke 8:15. So getting honest is essential. Jesus used the word honest, and it's absolutely essential to your final salvation. You see, the Bible speaks of initial salvation and final salvation over and over and over. Now, we can't go into all of this, but I will tell you, the book Lie of the Ages covers this salvation on a very broad spectrum from A to Z, from Genesis to Revelation. It's a very big book, but I can tell you, of the 18 or so books that we have in the library for the ministry at this point, believe it or not, 730 pages. I'm just going to say this. That may be the easiest one to read, and I don't know why, but that topic is extremely fascinating. And I tell you what, reading that book, the scriptures you're going to get out of that book, because that's all that matters, is going to broaden your kingdom perspective expansively, to put it lightly. So we cover all these things. This message, there's so much to be covered here, but let me encourage you, beloved, to pray God will open the eyes of your understanding and give you wisdom and cause you to be a man like Paul, a man of truth, valiant for the truth, Jeremiah 9:3, that declares, Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar, beginning with yourself. Beware. Now, a lot of people that have known that once saved, always saved is a lie are being tempted by the devil. He's never going to stop tempting you to somehow believe people will still go to heaven and are secure for eternal glory, even if they're living in sin. That is a lie. Read Romans 6, the rest of this chapter, folks. You've got to be crucified with Christ. Oh, brother, that's work salvation. No, you're going to be one with Christ who overcame sin and Satan and death by dying. you're going to agree that there's no good thing in you and that you have to die to self to crucify the old man so that the resurrection life of Christ can put on that new man in you. Ephesians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 3. That's what the cross does. It puts off the old man. You can't live after the dictates of the flesh and still be saved. Paul just said it, that if you continue in sin, grace does not abound to you, and you can't be saved outside of the grace of God. But wait a minute, it's a gift. Who said a gift can't be taken away? I'm sorry. Who assumed that foolishly? How did the Galatians lose their salvation? Yeah, you heard me. They fell from grace. You can't be saved outside of grace. Why? They went away from Christ, adhering to the New Testament gospel, to the law. Doesn't matter what you leave Christ for. You're lost. You fall away. If people can't fall away, how did they fall from grace? Galatians 5:4. I'm sorry. Please explain that to me. I don't want to hear your little misuse of a few verses when you're a little once saved, always saved, proof text, repertoire. Shut it up. Read the whole Bible. You get a different picture. The Bible tells us that you can fall away. Jesus himself, Luke 8:13, there will be those. This is one of the four soils. Jesus said they believed. And you're going to call that not salvation? Jesus said in Luke 6:47, he that believeth hath eternal life. So when Jesus said they believed, that means they were saved. Boom, case closed. So there'll be those who believe for a while, but in time of temptation, everybody's going to be tempted. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, separation from God. Just like Adam and Eve, you shall surely die. You will be separated from me if you sin against me. Why was he telling him not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Because he's God, number one. Also, you ever think he wanted them to be protected? Yeah, he wanted them to be protected. And because he's holy, 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 he's not going to protect anybody living in sin. Saving grace is not abounding toward anyone who was saved in the past and yet is living in sin now. If you're not going to repent and obey God, you're lost. And I'm not going to lie to you like many of these other devils that call themselves preachers and tell you everything's going to be all right. You're going to hell. The wages of sin is still death, Romans 6:23. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's still the absolute facts. It's the truth. If you jump off a 10-story building claiming all the way down that everything's going to be all right, you're still going to go splat at the bottom. You're done. You're dying that day. Your denial doesn't change the truth. That's a fool's hope. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God says that all souls are his, Ezekiel 18:4. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. What does die mean? Be separated from God. Death always means separation. When a person, you go to a funeral and you're looking at the body of a person, a physical earth suit, as some call it, the soul of that person's already gone. That's death. See, death is always separation. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. James 2:20. Don't tell me you're saved and you don't have good works. No, I didn't say the fruit of good works save you. And yet, if you're saved, you're going to have the fruit of good works. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Repent, get on your face before a holy God, and be crucified with Christ from today forward, and stop with all the excuses, trying to use Scripture and ignore mountains of Scripture, such as several that I've pulled out here, ignoring them, evading them. You're a moral coward. I'm calling you what you are. The Bible says the first class of sinners that's going to the lake of fire are those that are fearful. Look up the Greek. They're absolute cowards. That's what you are. You might be a 350-pound man, football player. I don't care. You're a coward if you're evading the truth of God instead of falling on the stone and being broken. That's what Jesus said. Matthew 21:44. You're either going to fall on the stone, that's Christ, and be broken. Bow down. Every knee's going to bow, but it's too late. You're going to bow on your way to hell if you die in sin. If you're living in sin, looking at stuff you shouldn't look at or whatever, you die tonight in your sleep, and it happens every day around God's globe. Unexpectedly, people die. You're going to be in the bowels of eternal damnation, suffering consciously forever. Why? Because you refuse to fear God. Jesus said to his own friends, "I will tell you who to fear." Commandment. Fear him that after he has killed you is able to destroy and cast your soul and body into hell. Matthew 10:28, Luke 12:4-5. There is no holy fear of God in the modern church. They teach the fear of the Lord according to the commandments of men, the Bible says. Bible says in Psalm 2:11-12 that we're to serve the Lord with fear. You mean I'm to be afraid of him? You better be afraid of him. You live in sin. You better be afraid of him. You're going to hell. As soon as you die, you're going to be in hell and you'll never escape. There is a great gulf fixed between eternity in hell and eternity with God. Luke 16:26. And so that you cannot pass from one to the other. There are no second chances. There are no do-overs. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You want to go to hell? Live in sin. You're not fighting the good fight of faith and engaging in an intimate, abiding relationship with Jesus, who is to be your first love. You are lukewarm at best. Talking to those that have been born again at some point. You're lukewarm at best, and that's all it takes to go to hell, is to get saved and then get lukewarm. You don't love Jesus. You love this world. You love your life. You have another God before him, and that's you. You're the graven image in your life. It's time to dethrone that wicked sinner called you, to get on your face before a holy God in true repentance and run from that filthy little pagan church that you've been going to that has been doing nothing but coddling you and your sin. That little pansy behind the pulpit doesn't preach hell. He doesn't preach judgment. He doesn't preach the holiness of God and the fact that God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, and without holiness no man shall see the Lord." He doesn't teach the cross, the crucified life, which is at the center of the original gospel. Run for your life. And you can tell him on the way out that I called him a false teacher, and tell him to come see me if he wants. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Say what? You heard him. Psalm 2:11-12. Serve the Lord with fear. See, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. And it also says the fear of the Lord is clean. You're not going to have a clean heart. Blessed are the pure, the clean in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8, Psalm 19:9, Proverbs 14:27. Psalm 2:11-12, serve the Lord with fear. Are you serving the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling? Wow. Well, brother, I don't want to be afraid. You better shut your mouth and lay down your life and be crucified with Christ. Salvation is not about you. It's about Jesus, not you. That's your problem, you. That's why you need to go on a fast and fast every week in a time and a day, at least, of fasting and prayer and seeking the face of a holy God. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11, we just put out a new book called Ready for the Return of Our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to get it. It's loaded with holy scripture concerning being ready for the soon return of Jesus. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but one that is holy and without blemish before him. There it is again. You can't read a page in a Bible that doesn't refute this lie that people that get saved, they're supposedly have no further conditions. They're unconditionally going to heaven. That is a lie from hell. Many people, in fact, I believe at least half that ever got saved, have fallen away, like the half, the five foolish virgins of the 10, Jesus said, have fallen away. That might be a conservative number, but Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. Now, what happened there? By the way, Jesus is the bridegroom in that parable, Matthew 25:1-13. How many have made it in final salvation into the bridal chamber of eternal glory and went to the great supper of the Lamb? Are you going to be there? Why would you miss heaven with the great bridegroom of heaven, Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, the very Almighty, the Lamb of God who died for your sins and was buried and raised again from there? Why would you miss this party? Why? It never ends, by the way. Why would you miss that? Why would you be like the five foolish virgins who had a lukewarm attitude and disposition toward the great bridegroom? That's like a man who has a woman he's engaged to and then he realizes she's not really into me. Would he be stupid enough to marry her? I hope not. I can tell you this, the Son of God isn't going to marry anyone who isn't in love with him. And you got to choose to be in love with him. It might be a great day to just say, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. Lord, I surrender all to you today. Get before God, friend, in repentance, something we never hear preached anymore, because all of these fake Bibles that these little cowards calling themselves pastors are using, that's what they learned in the Vatican, indoctrinated and invaded Protestant seminaries. Run for your life. Get a King James Bible. You are the church, fellowship every day, not some little Sunday morning club. That's what's put many of you that are listening to me in your lukewarm state, and you're still loving your sin. Jeremiah 5:31, my people will love to have it so. You're just reveling in it because you refuse to repent and you're going to hell. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That speaks for itself. Meditate on that. This is the last two verses in Psalm 2. Verse 12, kiss the Son. That's capital S-O-N. It might be the only place the capital S-O-N appears in the Old Testament. I'm thinking about the book of Daniel. Jesus was the fourth man in the fire. Anyway, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Well, I don't want to serve a God the same way. Bye. You're going to hell. You don't determine who God is. That's the problem. You've created a God in your own little puny, foolish image. Sinner, trying to act like you can pick and choose who God is. Are you kidding me? There's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody that knows him and is going to be with him honors him and says with Paul, let God be true and every man a liar. In other words, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Boom! No such thing as a heaven-bound Christian that's not an astute Bible believer and student. No such thing. If you're not in the Word every day, it's because you've already backslidden. You were backslidden a long time ago. God's a little second-class citizen to you, a hobby to you. You don't love Jesus. You're like one of the five foolish virgins who was shut out of the eternal bridal chamber with Christ. Matthew 25:1-13. Listen, this is an open book test, folks. Why don't you know all these scriptures? Many of you do, but I'm addressing the counterfeits that are listening to this. So many little once saved, always saved pansies running around. Hit a hornet's nest with dozens of them this week, typically, because I put a statement of truth out there that I read to you earlier. You're not eternally secure. You're not unconditionally eternally secure. You're not once saved, always saved. Those words never appear in the Bible. Okay, in any scriptures you're taking them out of, you're taking them out of context. And that's what Lie of the Ages goes through and lambasts them. All of these proof texts that are lies, the way they conclude things without looking at the whole counsel of Scripture, not only in the immediate text, but all the way through the Scriptures. They don't want the truth. They love darkness rather than light. They will do anything except repent. Anything except repent. They're not enduring sound doctrine because of the unrepentant hearts that they've chosen to have. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. As we were speaking earlier, God kicked the man and the woman out of his garden, the garden of creation. That's where his presence dwell, and they sinned against him. What caused them to sin against him? The same thing that's causing a lot of people to fall away because they're listening to these eternal security, Calvinistic, once saved, always saved, ungodly men. That's what the Bible calls them. Jude verse 4. Instead of reading the Bible for yourself, like Paul, by the Spirit, mandated Timothy to do, as the Holy Spirit and the Lord mandates we do, to study to show your own self approved unto God. You're just taking those few little verses that put you in this place of lukewarmness that make you feel like somehow you're secure, even though you're living in sin. You're living a myth. That's a fable. You're living a fairy tale, and it's going to be too late when you die. See, Satan introduced the word not. He added one three-letter word here. You shall not surely die. Wait a minute. God said you shall surely die. Definitive. You will be cut off. You will be separated from me if you sin. Satan said you shall not surely die. That's what led to a stripping of the fear of God from the heart of the man and woman and an entering into sin, that temptation right there. It's the same doctrine of once saved, always saved. That's where it started right there. It doesn't matter if you want to see this or not. It's absolutely irrefutable. It's the lie of the ages. Thinking that you can live in sin and still be in fellowship, saving fellowship with a holy God. You're kidding no one but yourself. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Are you enduring sound doctrine, including the scriptures that we're talking about? Are you denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Jesus daily, he said, Luke 9:23-24? You're not following Jesus unless you're doing it on his terms. See, that's the problem. So many have not studied the Bible themselves. That's their fault, 100%. They've allowed themselves to be sold down the river with these half-truths and all the lack of preaching of the original gospel. You can't depend on preachers for your little fix. You've got to get your eyes in the Word of God yourself. Nothing replaces Bible reading. So anyway, started a firestorm this week, debunking the lie of an unconditional, eternal security. Again, you'd have thought I cursed Jesus Christ by the way these people came out of the woodwork. They wouldn't say a word if I went so far as to say something bad about Jesus. They wouldn't care. Don't touch their little idol doctrine, though, that they hide behind. Jesus said to his own that if you don't abide, that means remain in me, continue in me. You got to endure to the end to be saved, he said. If you're not abiding, continuing in me, you are going to be cast into the fire. John 15, verse 6. See, what these people are saying is this, basically, quote, I want nothing to do with the daily cross, unquote. That's what they're saying. So they pluck out verses and ignore that crucified life. Jesus said you have to live to follow him. Luke 9:23-24 and all the other synoptic gospels, Matthew 16, I believe it is, 24 and 25. So Romans 8 is a perfect example how they siphon out certain verses and ignore everything else. They claim that nothing separates us from the love of God, and that's the truth. End of Romans 8, like verse 37, 38. But it doesn't say nothing separates you from the life of God, but from the love of God. See, God will love you all the way into hell if that's where you choose to go. Listen, the prodigal son, did his father go after him? I'm sorry, yes or no? No, he didn't. When the prodigal son, that represents a believer who was once in his father's house in the kingdom and who left the father's house. Somebody listening to me probably needs to hear this. Did the father, that represents God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, did he go out into the foreign land where his son had gone to try to get? No, not at all. No. God gives free will. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua 24:15. You have the choice. Love is never forced, otherwise it's not love. He didn't go get, that's Luke 15, read it. He didn't go get him. He waited for him to come back. He wanted him to come back. He rejoiced when he saw him come back. He restored all of his righteousness and all of his blessings and authority, etc. when he did come back, but he didn't go after him. Listen, my spirit will not always strive with man. Genesis 6:3. You need God. He does not need you, sinner. And you're going to be cut off, he said, just like the Jews were cut off and severed from God's kingdom when they did not acknowledge his goodness and severity. See, that's what most ministry is today. It's all about the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the love of God, but nothing about fearing God, nothing about the crucified life, nothing about judgment to come, quote unquote, hell, eternal damn, nothing about that. See, that's a complete false gospel. It's a half-truth gospel. It's deadly. See, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God toward the goodness. I'm reading right here in Romans 11:20-22. I don't know how anybody could be so dishonest as to continue to believe they're eternally secure after reading this. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, that is, the Jews. Wait a minute, that was God's people, that's right, and they backslid. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is essential. Repentance and faith. So they were broken off because of unbelief. He continues, and thou standest by faith. Paul's talking to the Gentiles. And he's saying the Jews in this context, read the chapter, were broken off. They were cut off as a whole because of their unbelief. But thou standest by faith. Where's your faith today? Is it in yourself? Is it in something that's unfounded? Or is it in the Word of God? See, your faith is in the idea that you have eternal security no matter what. That did not come from the Word of God. So that's a false faith. The Word of God does not teach you that. Paul didn't believe he was once saved, always saved. Paul said, I keep under my body. There's the cross. He stayed crucified with Christ. You can't walk with God outside of it. You're not going to overcome sin without it. You can try every trick in the book. What do you call it? An accountability part. It's not going to work. I've seen it over and over. Never. You're getting all that stuff. You're doing all that band-aiding because you refuse to repent. Who else do you need other than you and God? How many years ago did you find out from the Bible about fasting and prayer and how God will deliver you? That's the cross. You're saying, Lord, you must increase and I must decrease. And then you push away the plate. You drink water. You spend your time praying into the Word of God 1 or 2 days a week. But you haven't done that. So now you're going to go try to be deceptively band-aiding to say it's not working. It never will. God's not going to change. The cross is at the center of the Christian faith. The blood of his cross, where he overcame the devil, he overcame sin, he overcame death by dying, Hebrews 2:14. And he told you that's the only way you're going to overcome it. If you don't, you're going to die in sin and be separated from God forever. Let's continue. Be not high-minded, but fear. There's another command to fear God. Some people don't like that, and that's their problem. They need to get right. Be not high-minded, he tells us as Gentiles. Be not high-minded. Don't be arrogant, but fear. For if God bared not the natural branches, that's the Jews, take heed lest he also spare not thee. You're Christians, he's saying, but God will not spare you if you live in sin. Listen to this, verse 22, as we finish this passage. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. See, some people don't want to endure sound doctrine. Through the years, you get people coming along. Oh, well, that's kind of harsh. Why? They're serving the God of self. They didn't look at the truth and go, that's what the Bible says. So it's not some mere messenger being harsh necessarily. That's what the Bible says. They're not enduring sound doctrine. But after their own lust, see, there it is. They're living in sin. They have not repented. They're unrepentant. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and shall be turned away from the truth into fables. That's why, my dear brothers in Christ, the true disciples and authentic worshipers of Jesus Christ, men of truth, you must preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and shall be turned to the fables and away from the truth. That's why he said, preach the word in season and out. Don't change. You're going to see people that falter. You're going to see people that won't repent. You keep teaching the word of God all the way till you're with him. Don't ever compromise. 2 Timothy 4:2-4. In fact, in verse 1, he says God's going to judge you for this. And that's why years ago, as I tell the story, an older man, I was a younger guy, a believer, met this guy at a conference, big biker dude, looked me square in the eye and said, you preach this gospel just like it's written, son. Do you understand me? And let me tell you, that wasn't like a lightning bug landing on me. That was a lightning bolt going through me. And it's the truth for every one of us. And I'm telling you, dear brother, you preach this gospel just like it's written and never compromise. The full power of the real Bible, the King James Bible, not some little fake news counterfeit. So God says here that we're commanded to do what? Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. See, some people want to acknowledge God's loving, merciful grace. That's about all you see on social media. Why? Because they're getting it from these total false prophets that are called pastors in the pulpits. They don't want to hear about the severity of God. They don't want to hear that God caused over 2,000 of his people to ground. He opened up the ground and sent them straight to hell. Numbers 25, I believe it is, or 16. Over and over, he judged his own people. They don't want to hear that. And he warns over and over of judgment throughout the New Testament. They don't want to hear it. But God says his true disciples will behold the goodness and the severity of God. Anybody who's picking and choosing what they want to believe and study and know and walk in the Bible is an absolute counterfeit, as sure for hell as if they were already there. Say, they're not submitted to Jesus. If they were to be submitted to all of his word, they'd be full counsel Bible believers. Because all scripture, all of it, not some of it, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. Doctrine is extremely important. And anyone who does not continue in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. They do not have the Lord. They're going to perish in their own rebellion. According to 2nd or 3rd John, read them both. There are only one chapter each. You hath not God, 2nd John verse 9. If you don't continue in the doctrine, believing the truth of God's word, you do not have God. Notice, continue in it. God requires you to endure to the end to be saved. You're saved if you truly are, but you're not home yet. You might be bought by the heaven's king's blood, but you're not home yet. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. This is a divine threat, make no mistake. You're going to be cut off just like the Jews, God's own covenant people. You're going to be cut off if you don't continue in both the goodness and severity of God. The true believer takes the word of God as the word of God. He doesn't decide, well, I don't like that part of it or this part of it, so I'm going to ignore that. That is a counterfeit. That's what all these little once saved, always saved people are. Bunch of moral cowards. They don't want to die the death. They want to live unto themselves, somehow believing that Jesus is going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. While they're not serving him, they're serving themselves. Total frauds. Ezekiel 33, 12 and 13. Therefore, thou son of man, listen to this. God is unchanging. And notice how he deals with people. Ezekiel 33, 12 and 13. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people. In other words, tell my people. The righteousness of the righteous. Wait. Of the who? The righteousness of the righteous. Those that are right with God, the people of God, shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. Boom. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. So what does God say? In this, the overall truth, the governing truth here is that God looks at you right now where you are. Not where you were, but where you are right now. Have you been born again, number one? Number two, are you abiding in Christ? Are you walking in engaged in a relationship with the great bridegroom of heaven on his terms? That's the Bible, the whole of it. Or are you living any other way than that? If you're living any other way than that, then you are not abiding in Christ. You're not right with God, and all of your sins are against you. Verse 13, Ezekiel 33, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live. Now watch this. What happens when you get saved? You have the assurance of your salvation, right? Yeah. So when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness. Uh-oh. Remember Paul said, not having mine own righteousness, Philippians chapter 3. This is the Jew of Jews himself that said he counted everything dung to know Christ and to be found in him. So Paul wasn't assuming that he was automatically going to be found in him in that last day, did he? No, not at all. And to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, so that must mean it's possible, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. See, a lot of people right here, let me interrupt myself, they still think that just because they got saved in the past, they're in Christ no matter what. That's not true. Jesus said, you got to abide in me. You got to have vital union and fellowship with me. That involves your participation. And that's the problem with so many people. They don't want to be personally accountable. Why? They're full of self. They're serving self. They didn't ever probably really repent and lay down their life and surrender. That's the problem. As they foolishly think, vainly, they just want to use Jesus to get out of hell. Not going to happen. you're either going to, like the five wise virgins, engage in an intimate relationship with the great bridegroom, or you're going to be shut out of the eternal kingdom. And to be found in him, Paul said, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, and we've all broken the law and are fully guilty, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that's the cross, and persecution, being made conformable unto his death. Are you being made conformable unto his death? Are you crucified with Christ? See, God has ordained that we be conformed to the image of Christ also, Romans 8:29. And that is the cross. You must be crucified with Christ. So then he says, Ezekiel 33:13, the last verse here that we're going to read and then come in for a close on this message. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, sin, watch this, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. Wow. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Wow. So let me ask you, I'm just going to ask a question, just a question. How many sins did it take for Adam and Eve to be kicked out of God's, who's holy, his presence? Just one. The only Bible answer to that is just one. See, one sin is as good as a million. Why? Because God is holy, holy, holy. He's holy, 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 folks. Whatever you do, embrace him and believe what he said. He's holy, holy, holy. Isaiah 6:3, Revelation 4:8. We're not even getting started here. Not even getting started. I was born and called to preach on this doctrine more than any other. And that's why the biggest book in the library is the Lie of the Ages book. And by the way, we don't make money selling the books. I know people get nervous about that because God forbid that anyone laboring in the word and doctrine daily can survive. 1 Timothy 5:17-18. Those who labor in the word of God and doctrine are to be thought worthy of double honor. So you should be glad that they're doing good and don't have to worry about money. Why? So they can do the work of God in the peace of God and with the power of God and not have to worry about that. And are you contributing? Who's feeding you? Galatians 6:6. Who's feeding you? Bible says in Galatians 6:6, we're to communicate. That means support those who feed us the word of God. All right, I don't know why we got into that, but we did. It's still the word of God. 2 Peter 2:20-21. I'm just going to go ahead and close here because we could go on literally for days. This subject is so huge. That's why it boggles my mind. There's so much scripture. Every page of the Bible refutes this idea that you can live any way you like after being saved, play on God, abuse him, not engage in an intimate relationship with him, and still go to heaven. And it defies scripture, number one. It defies logic. You got to have a screw loose to believe that. You're not right. Something's not right. You got some issues. You need to repent and get right. God alone can do that. So 2 Peter 2:20-22, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again, notice the word again, entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. In other words, their punishment in hell is going to be worse than if they had never been born again. If you're listening to me and you've been born again and you're no longer walking in an abiding relationship with Jesus, you're in big trouble. You're going to suffer worse than if you'd never been saved and never known him. And now they're always going to try to weasel their way out of the truth here by saying, well, that was just head knowledge. Really? Let's read the first part of that again. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you're saying that somebody can head knowledge and escape the pollutions of the world, overcome sin and be delivered from it? Impossible. Right here, the scripture is clear that this knowledge was a saving knowledge. Otherwise, they would not have been made new creatures and been able to escape the pollutions of the world. And furthermore, he says they are again, they go back to it and they're entangled therein. Verse 21, 2 Peter 2, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. See, they knew it, and it was much more than head knowledge. It was a knowledge of God in a saved state. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit. Notice again, the word again. Turned to his own vomit again, went back to his sin. And the sow, or the pig, that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. In other words, she's back in the miry clay of her sin. That's what is being talked about there. Clearly, 2 Peter chapter 2. And as we close, let's see, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, is talking to his own people, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. And ruin there means your eternal damnation in hell. God bless you, friends. Glad we had these moments together. I pray that God would unite your heart to fear his holy name. Psalm chapter 86, verse 11.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.